episode 235 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Outside the Box Score, your home on the web for entertaining sports columns and videos. Follow them on the web at OutsideTheBoxScoreBlog.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, welcome to mini episode number 235 of the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris, Anthony Patrone, and Matt Patrone from the Unheard Scene podcast of longtime FDH Lounge dignitaries. And original FDH Lounge dignitary, Chris Galloway here, breaking this one down for you. As we're looking at the best of the best of all time, as we always do, with Pantheon, this is the 7th version of Pantheon, the 6th anniversary of the FDH Lounge. Today, in this category, we're looking at the best baseball players. Previously, we've done best pitcher, we've done best pitcher. Ryan one was extraordinarily questionable, and I railed against it at the time, I have to say. I bear no responsibility for that vote at the time. But for best baseball player overall here, let's run through the ones that got one vote apiece. Kyle Ross, I want to single him out. A great vote for Willie Mays. That was who I voted for best baseball hitter, because when I did that one, I also took into account his defense. I took into account the full range of his game. Willie Mays with only one vote, but I felt like I should single that one out. Bob Glassman, who regrettably is not here yet. I know he's going to be here for the tapings today. Bob likes to cast the occasional joke votes here. Bob voting for Albert Bell in this category. Well, if you're going to look just at the prime of his career, if you're going to do it that way, but even still, Glassman being Glassman on that one. Only one vote for Ted Williams. That was kind of surprising. One vote for Barry Bonds. Probably didn't get more votes because of his issues, allegedly. One vote for Roberto Clemente. I want to single out Bob Benek on that, who was one of my favorite players of all time, who I think was a great player. That's a great vote. Good friend Raymond Smalley voting for Ty Cobb in this one here. Only one vote for him. We tended to get a little bit of clumping up here, and the winner actually made a run at 50% in this category. Like Lawrence Taylor for best NFL defensive player didn't make it. In the ones for, when we start getting into the multiples, two votes for Albert Pujols. Again, people looking kind of at just today in that. That was a little disapproving head shake there from Chris. And, what would you say to the folks that did that, Chris?
I just, you know, he's a great, if the category was great hitter, I could see, you could see that casting that vote. But, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't see that as well. By the way, Nate Noy on his ballot, he voted for the guy to turn out to be the winner, but he wanted it noted that he's saying Ryan Braun out of the current players. So I'll mention that. Speaking of current players, I mentioned in a previous category that sometimes folks cast ballots based on today. The guy who's second place in this category, I am not lying when I say this, there are three votes for Mike Trout as the best baseball player of all time.
Do these people understand that this was all time and not just currently? They actually understand that when they cast their vote?
But they voted for, like, Bo Jackson for best multi-sport athlete, so I think so. It's I think,
okay.
You know,
I guess they're projecting.
I guess. Well, one of the guys that did, actually, was John Adams, who, again, regrettably not here yet, although he's supposed to be in for the roundtables today.
Good. He's not here. We'll indict his decision-making process.
Yes.
You're not here to defend yourself, then forget it.
Three votes for Mike Trout. Truly head-shaking is all I can essentially say. The guy that wins this category and wins it going away, the only real drama here, he ended up getting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six of the last seven votes made a run at 50%. With 25 votes cast, he comes up just short, but 12 votes. Babe Ruth becoming a two-time member of the Pantheon here. And that was, you guys voted for him, I guess, Patrones. I voted for him as well. And
did I vote for him? I didn't think I voted in that category because I don't know that much about baseball.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
So.
You were blanking that one there.
I don't know that
much
about baseball.
Yours is blank.
So.
You did too, Chris. So, yeah, me and you both. I don't know about you. I took into account the pitching. I factored that
in as well.
Well,
that was what did it for me. He was a great pitcher with the Red Sox, traded to the Yankees, and was a great hitter. And, you know, in an era, you know, the last thought process for me in an era where all these guys are juicing and doing all these drugs and trying to, you know, to improve their numbers and their, you know, the long ball and everything else. I mean, he basically did it on hot dogs and beer. And, you know, I mean, the guy did it on beer.
That's my kind of guy.
I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, I look at that and look at his, you know, his ability, the abilities that he did. You know, if you put Babe Ruth on a modern regimen in terms of nutrition and put him on steroids and HGH, my God, what would he have done?
You know what, though? And I read this a couple of years ago. This was in one of those, like, parade magazine things in the Sunday newspaper. Somebody actually documented this, that coming off of one of his years in the mid-20s that was a little bit disappointing by his standards, and I was really shocked to read this, he went on an off-season regimen. I think it involved weights, it involved whatever, he cut out the whores, he was eating salad, it was very un-Babe Ruth-like behavior. But it was, I read this, I take it you didn't see that either, because you seem as surprised as I was when I read it, but he actually did, by the standards of the time, work in some of this Jack LaLanne stuff, which boggled my mind, frankly.
I guess I'm not overly surprised by it. The only thing, and here was my thought process on why I considered not voting for him, was, and why I sort of discount some of the argument on the folks that have been caught doing steroids and performance-enhancing drugs. They were facing pitchers who were doing the same.
True.
And so, in many cases, the playing field was very level, as it relates. And so, Babe Ruth wasn't facing, you know, pitchers who were juiced. He was facing guys that were in a similar physical situation. The other thing that the reason I considered not voting for him was because there was a large segment of the population he didn't play against.
Right.
He didn't get to play against the black players who were segregated into the Negro Leagues.
Yeah.
And so. I think you have to take that into consideration as it relates to his numbers as well, because I don't know that he faced necessarily some of the best pitchers of his era. He certainly did some, but not all of them. And therefore, those were the two things that gave me pause for really why I wouldn't. But in the end, it was the two sport, it was the two position, pitching and hitting. His ability was clear, you know, from different aspects of the game.
I want to draw you out on this because we've talked about this previously on the show as far as baseball goes, the fact that there wasn't interleague regular season play before 1997. This is how I look at it, and the whole question of Babe Ruth, and he didn't have to face the black pitchers at the time and all that. As a competitive question, I separate the morality from it and the color line, and yeah, that was wrong. And I look at it and I say, in my mind, there was sort of like a third major league out there that he wasn't playing against, but he didn't play against the National League in the regular season anyways. Versus, I think as the population, the number of teams in baseball expanded, the spots expanded, as black players came in, Latin players, and I think there's always been a proportionality on that that's more or less kind of worked out. Same thing as with the NHL. I wasn't so sure that the NHL overexpanded. They might have. But that's when it became a global game. You start getting the Ruskies in there and the Swedes and everything like that and filling out the spots. So it's not necessarily a bunch of, you know, Canadian guys who can only fight and they're taking up the roster spots. So do you put any credence in that with Ruth on that? Yeah, you know, he wasn't facing those guys, but the American League wasn't that watered down, and he also wasn't facing the National League while he was at it?
Well, I think that's a very valid point. I don't know that his numbers would have, you know, degraded in any particular way playing if he had played against black players.
Okay.
I don't think there's any evidence that is the case. And you certainly make a valid point about the not playing the National League. But even if you play in the American League today, you're not playing the National League, most of those teams, on a regular basis anyway, so you're not facing most of those players anyway. You know, if you play in football, you're not playing every other team every year, so you're always going to be missing. I mean, unless it's the, you know, other than the NBA, there is a seriously, you know, much more weighted against playing the other conference and all the rest of that. So I would say that, you know, Do I think statistically it really affected him? No, but I think it has to be taken into consideration. That there were a lot of good players that he – and I think it's probably – he probably might not have fared any differently had he faced some of the best black players at the time. There were probably a lot of other players, you know, further down those rosters that would have made the teams. They would not have, you know, they would maybe not have fared as well playing black players of that era. So, from his standpoint, probably not. Others at that time probably wouldn't have fared.
Yeah, that's a good call because it was his level of production that really did kind of set him apart and why he did so well on so many ballots here. 10 other folks in addition to me and you voting for him, including Anthony. And I understand that Anthony had sublet his ballot to someone that he felt knew more about baseball. I appreciate the integrity involved in this. You didn't just vote for Albert Bell like Bob Glassman did, Anthony, so good for you.
I just decided that, you know, I don't know a lot about baseball. I don't really follow it. So I went to an 11-year-old boy who knows a ton about baseball.
And I did see that on Facebook, you were even checking to see, hey, I'm voting in this thing here.
Nobody cared. Nobody responded.
Nobody responded to you. That was a shame. That was a darn shame. But I appreciate the effort involved. Babe Ruth with 12 votes, now a two-time member, inducted into the FDH Lounge Pantheon.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.